All right. Good morning again from First Baptist Church, Brandenburg. We're so excited to have the opportunity to speak a word of life to you guys today. I feel like God has just given me just some words of hope and some words of peace in a time that seems like there's not a whole lot of that going on. Today we're going to talk about whether you're going to be a whiner or a warrior. And this week I found myself in a little bit of both places. Because of the events that unfolded this week and all the stuff with the virus, I found myself whining about some things maybe that I couldn't have. Like, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get enough coffee for however long I was going to have to be stuck in the house, if I need to be stuck in the house. And if you guys know me, you know that's a big deal. I don't go without coffee. I don't do that. It doesn't work well. But I also found myself ready to go to war over the last four rows of toilet paper at the dollar store maybe as well. So I was a little bit of both this week. But as we get ready to do that, I just feel like we just need to open in prayer this morning and get this thing started. You guys pray with me wherever you are. God, I am so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that you are unshakable. God, that nothing takes you by surprise. That nothing can defer or turn your love away from your people. I am so thankful for the love that you have for us. And I'm thankful, God, that today we can speak life in the midst of a problem. We can speak hope in the midst of darkness that people may feel right now. God, I thank you for that we were able to do that through song and spoken word both. I pray that you would use me today, God, to speak life and to speak that hope, God, in a way that is directly reflective of you, that you get me completely out of the way, God, that Logan is totally out of this picture today, that it's only you, and the things that you would have me to speak today would come out of my mouth. I pray, God, that you use this time to help change lives. I pray for souls to be saved today. I pray, God, for lives to be changed, marriages to be healed, depression to be taken away, God, and just all of those things that try to take our focus from you. God, I pray today would be a day of deliverance in that, God. And I know that you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And God, I know that you're here right now because I brought you with me. And these other people here brought you with them as well. But God, you're bigger than a building. You're bigger, God, than walls that we can put up. God, you are with us right now. And it's so awesome that the church is not just inside a building. Help us today, God, to see that and realize that and remember that as we go forward in this today. Thank you again, God, for the opportunity. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. So, open this back up, get some notes going here. So, talking about being a whiner or a warrior, to start this off, we're going to talk about how God led the Israelites out of Egypt with Moses and did some really miraculous things with that. But shortly after they were walking through the wilderness, they started to complain and they started to whine about some things that maybe God wasn't doing exactly the way they wanted them to do. And God really had a promised land for them. God had some promises for them that he wanted them to take hold of. He told them that when he brought them out of Egypt. But because of the fact that they didn't know how to fight and they didn't know how to go to war to get those things, they ended up missing out on those for an entire generation. And today I want to talk to you about how we can move from being a whiner, like the Israelites in the wilderness, to becoming a warrior like Joshua in the first chapter to seize the promised land. So, first couple of scriptures, we're going to look at Numbers 11:1. And this scripture says, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. The fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed them on the outskirts of the camp." Again, move forward. Exodus 16:1-3. And it said, "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which was between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, he had come out after he had..." Forget that part. We'll roll on. Go to 2. "In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, and we sat around pots of meat and ate all of the food that we wanted.'" So, oh, sorry, we got one more. but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. So what happened was, like we talked about, God miraculously delivers them from the oppression and the dictatorship that Pharaoh had over them, takes them out into the wilderness, causes all the plagues, all these things, and it was just incredible what he did for them. But they got stuck there. They lost sight of what God really wanted them to do. God didn't want to just bring them out to just save them. He wanted to bring them out into the promises that he had for them. And he had areas of promise that he wanted them to own. And they missed that. An entire generation missed that promise because they lost sight of what God really wanted for them. And today I feel like God's telling us that he wants to do more than save us. He wants to do more than just keep us from not going to hell. He wants to give us promises. And there are areas in our life that God wants to make different. And God wants to make divine. And those promises that he has for us that can't be bought. They're those promises that no matter how hard we try, we can't go get them from anywhere but God. And today, I want to talk to you about how we can get from that point to the next point. So, a little quote I had today. A whiner will cry about what he doesn't have. The warrior will find a way to achieve his goal. So, the mindset of the whiner says, I don't know how I'm ever going to get what God has for me. I don't know how I'm ever going to get there. The warrior says, God gave me this. He handed it to me, and I'm going to go find a way to get it. So, right now, I want you to start thinking of that maybe one or two areas in your life where you could say, man, if I had this one thing, if I could get to this one place, if I had this one area that was fixed, I would be the best Christian ever. I would be so effective for God if I had blank, whatever that blank is. Start thinking about that in your mind and beginning to remember what you felt like maybe God has promised you in the past, but you haven't been able to lay hold of. Put that in your mind. Hold on to it. Get that. Get that idea. The first thing in Joshua 1, 2 through 4, we'll read this real quick together. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. So what Joshua did when he began to change their mindset from becoming just whiners and just not reaching their goal, being content in their salvation only, the first thing that he did was he listened to God about the areas that they could have. He listened to God when God identified the boundaries of what the promised land was for them. Today I challenge you to listen to God about what he's giving you, what he has for you that he's ready to hand you, but maybe you've walked away from, or maybe you've found it too hard to get there, whatever that is, whatever that thing is that seems unattainable, identify that. That's the first thing Joshua did, was he identified the area that God had promised them down to the boundaries of where that was. The next thing, another quote for you. The whiner complains about why they can't get what they want from God. The warrior will study his enemy until he finds a weakness. So many times in our life we say, oh, there's this, 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 and this. There's no way I'm going to get that. I can't have peace right now. Look at the world. It's in a mess. There's no way I can have peace right now. But God says we can. God is peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So we can have it. So many times in our life we feel like, oh, there's no way I can be hopeful right now. Have you seen the mess I'm in? Have you seen me? Have you met me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I struggle with on the daily? I'm addicted to this. I can't get away from that. I can't get out from under what the way I was raised. God doesn't care about what that is. God has a promise for each and every one of us individually, and he doesn't really care about what's in the way of it, because he's bigger than that. He is so much bigger than that. So back to my notes. the warrior will study his enemy to find a weakness. Joshua, in chapter 2, verse 1, start there first. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of the prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. And then also in verse 24 of the same chapter, they said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands, and all of the people are melting in fear because of us. What Joshua did was he began to study that enemy. He began to check out, how can we beat them? Jericho was a fortified city. Y'all know, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. There's the walls, they walked around them, you know, all that thing. But when they first looked at it, it looked like an impenetrable fortress. It would be like trying to roll up on the Pentagon, holding a Glock in your hand and expecting somebody not to come after you. It was crazy that how protected it was. But God said, y'all can have it. This is part of the promised land that I've given you. So Joshua sent those spies and check it out. And he said, go see what's going on there. Go see what the city looks like. Walk all the way around it. See what the gates look like. How can we get into it? What can we do here to conquer and possess this land? So in our lives, I feel like God's just telling us, okay, we've identified that promise, right? We know you guys hopefully have got that word or that promise in your mind and your heart that's just sitting there. Well, now I want you to begin to think about why you can't get there. Why are you not there yet? What's in the way of that? What's holding you back from knowing true peace? What's keeping you from living a life of hope? What's keeping you from the deliverance of XYZ sin? What's holding your marriage back? What's holding your relationships back? What's holding your career back? What is that? Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's the way you were raised. Maybe it's, this is how I do things. I'm so-and-so. Everybody knows me as blah, blah, blah. A negative name. That's not truth. That's a lie that God is trying to break today. That's a lie that Satan's tried to infiltrate into your heart and into your spirit and to say, there's no way you're ever going to get past that. But God speaks truth, and God is truth in that. And God says, no, sir. No, ma'am. I made you. I knew you in your mother's womb. I knew today, March 15th, 2020, what you would be dealing with. I knew what things were going to come against you before you even knew the words to say about it. He knows who you are, where you are, and what you're dealing with. So today, as the point number two, I challenge you to say, what is in the way of my promise? What's holding me back from taking hold of the promised land and the areas in my life God has promised me that I can have victory in? What's in the way of that? Study it. Walk around it in your mind. Get a visual of it. Why is it in the way? What is this about? What is this? So the first thing we do, we identify what the promise is we feel like God has given us. The second thing we do, we see what's in the way of that promise, and we figure out how that we can get around that. We study that enemy that's taken hold of what God said we could have. And the third point says, the last quote of this part says, the whiner will sit and watch while his enemy plunders and steal what God promised him, but the warrior will fight to possess the promises of God. So many times in our lives, we get lazy, we get worried, we get scared we don't have enough. We get scared we're not good enough to have what God has for us. It's not about how good we are. It has nothing to do with that. If it was up to us, our righteousness is like filthy rags to him anyway. It doesn't matter. We could never check enough boxes to get what God gave us. You can be Sunday school 110% attendance. You're there and you stay after. You got all the gold stars. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And so many times in my life, I've let the thoughts that creep into my mind tell me a lie long enough that I took it as truth. But today I want to speak truth to you that is real. And truth to you that will allow you to find the victory in that. But man, you gotta buckle up a little bit. Because God doesn't just hand us those things. Those are things we have to fight for. Because when we get those promises God gives us, when we're able to achieve those and possess those and hold those, that's when Satan gets scared. Because when you have hope in a dark time, or when you have peace in a tempest, or when you have victory over depression or other physical illnesses that may come about you, Satan gets scared. Because that's when God's glorified. When you're in the middle of something and you can still praise God, that's when God gets glorified. That's when we begin to impact the people around us. That's when we begin to change communities and change the world, is when it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter how bleak this battle looks. I know who my God is, and I know that greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. And that He that is anything that comes against me, the weapon might be formed. You might see it. You might have it thrown at you, but it won't prosper. When we get to that place where we know and we possess the promises of God and we're walking in that, man, they might form. You might see it. Like I said, they might come at you. You might see darts. You might see things that come against you. But man, we can get girded up with the armor of God. We can have that shield of faith. We can have the helmet of salvation that protects our mind from the things that try to come against us. We can have our feet shod with the preparation of peace. And I'm reminded that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. When we begin to fight for those things, we have to proclaim the Word of God over those. What that looks like in real life, what that looks like on the daily, is when you get out of bed and things are crazy. You know, like a couple weeks ago, I get out of bed and I'm getting ready to go to work, and I walk in the kitchen and my 3-year-old son sitting in the floor with that, I don't think they're half gallons anymore, but he had ice cream sitting in the floor just throwing down all over his face, everything. And if y'all know me, I don't do mornings real well anyway. And so I walk in and I see that. Not only was it in the morning, it messed my schedule up. It was just set up for a bad day. When we start to have those mornings and we start those days like that, we begin to proclaim the Word of God over that stuff. We begin to speak God's truths to those lies that come against us that say, today's going to be awful. You're going to have a no good, really bad, worst, horrible day ever. Sort of the title of that book. It's not close. It's close, but it's not dead on. But when we begin to look at that through eyes that say, nope, not today, because I know who I am. Or we get a text or a phone call that's a lot more real than your kid eating ice cream on the floor that says, man, you've got a loved one that's sick, or you've got a loved one that's passed away, or you've got a son or daughter that's got locked up for whatever reason, or whatever that truth is, or that thing is that come against you that try to fight what God is doing in your life. You got to go to war with that. You got to buckle down. You got to suit up with that armor of God. And you've got to go to war. And war is not easy. It's not an easy thing to do that. Because our flesh is screaming inside of us. Be mad about this. Be tore up about that. Whine about it. Be lazy about it. Don't do anything. Stay right where you are. But God's inside of us saying, I know who you are. Remember the victories we've had together. Remember how you've gotten up every single day of your life for 31 years as of yesterday. I had a birthday yesterday. Remember, Logan, what I've brought you through. Remember the fire that you and I have walked through together. Remember the days that it felt like there were so many lies you couldn't even find the truth. And remember the night when you really, really wanted to take your life because Satan told you you weren't worth it. And you were ready to go. Remember how just one last time the Spirit within you convicted you to open the Bible. And I begin to speak to you, Logan, how I have plans for you. And I begin to read scriptures that told me how much God loved me. Logan, remember that. remember those times where you felt like, what is going on in my life? How am I ever going to get out of this hole that I'm in? And you said, one step at a time. Buckle up, big dog. We're going to do this. It's going to be tough. And it's going to be a grind. But you take a step, and then you take another step, and then you take another step, and you roll up on Satan every morning. And you say, you can't have my promise. You can't have it. Because God told me I could possess it. See, it was one thing for the Israelites to conquer those territories, but God wanted them to possess the land. God wanted them to own it. And when I think about possession, I go back to thinking about football. And I played football when I was in high school. And I was a running back. And if you know anything about football, it's the guy the quarterback turns around and hands the ball to, and then it's his job to go score, right? Try to find a way to get there. When I was a running back, I was trusted with the possession of the football. And my whole young life, my dad played football, and we had fun together learning how to do that. And whenever we would go out, I would have a football in my hand, and we would just, you know, be playing with it, throwing it around, whatever. Well, it got to the point where dad said, okay, you're old enough. I'm going to start trying to take that ball from you. I'm going to start showing you what it's like on the bottom of a pile after you've been tackled. Not only did you get hit, not only did you get knocked down, somebody's going to try to take what's yours. And I remember my dad, he's a big dude. He's like 6'2 and just real big. And he'd come at me and he'd say, give me the ball. And we would fight back and forth. And I'd say, no, sir, this is mine. I know this is mine. Mainly because it had my name on it or something. But, you know, I took possession of that. I owned that. And I remember being on a football field and taking a handoff and getting hit maybe right at the line or at the linebackers and just getting so hit that I was dazed and not sure exactly which way was up before I got up, but I knew what I had in my hands. I knew how important it was for me to hold on to the ball. I was in possession of something very important. Now I'm in possession of a thing, some things that are a whole lot more important than a football. Wilson doesn't have anything on the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that that mindset has helped me translate that into my daily life. Because there's a lot of days where Satan says, hey, I'm going to take your peace. I'm just going to take it. And I have to say, it's mine. You can't have it. Come on. Come get it. And I know that I can speak those words of victory because I know who I am in Jesus. And I know how big He is in me. And I know that I put in work so that I can possess what I possess today. I've been through the fire. I've lifted the heavy weights. I have trained for the day when Satan tries to come at me and says, give it to me. Give me your family. Give me your marriage. Give me your kids. Give me your life. Give me your mind. I'm going to take it all. Because He's not about anything but steal, killing, and destroy. But God came to give life. And not just life, but life abundantly. Not just life that saves us, but life that we have promises in Him that say we are better than what we think we are in that. Can't have it. It's mine. I fought for it. I swung a sword. It was the Word of God. I found victory in that. Have you? Where are you? What do you feel like? What's your promise look like? How far away does it feel like it is? A day's journey? A month's journey? 40 years' journey? How far away does the promise feel like it is to you right now? Does it look like there's just too much in the way of it? Does it look like, you ain't going to get there? You're going to go to heaven. But you're not going to be happy while you're here. Are you listening to that? Are you hearing that noise? Are you becoming subject to that because you've heard it for so long that you can't have it? You can't get there? There's no way. Not somebody with your name. Not somebody with your past. Not somebody with who you are, who people think you are. There's no way God's going to use you. I beg to differ. Because God, when we find salvation in Him, He makes us a new creation. You're not what your past says you are. You don't have to be what your last name says you are. You don't have to be defined by who you were before you met God, because today, in knowing Him, you're a new creation. Are you ready to fight for it? What are you going to do? You going to whine about not having it? Or are you going to go to war and take it? What are you going to do? Who are you going to be? Going to be an Israelite walking around in circles for 40 years trying to talk about how you've been saved, but you don't know anything else about Jesus? You can't help anybody else because you don't have anything else, but you've been saved. Is God challenging you to be more than that? Yeah, He is. He told us all to do that. Go give Him to the people around us. Go to war. Go to war today. Go fight for what God said you can have. Roll up on Satan and start telling him truth. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Take ownership of it. Don't just conquer it. Don't just, like David did, don't just throw the rock and hit him in the head. Take his sword and cut his head off with it. Own it. Complete victory is what God wants in us. And Roxanne's going to play. We're going to talk a little bit about, what do you mean even by salvation? What is that all about? What kind of noise is that? Man, God loves you. And God loves me. And He loved every single one of us so much that He sent His Son so that we could be saved from hell. He loves you so much that He washed His Son be beaten and spat on and killed just so that we could have communion with Him. That's what salvation is about. Well, what do I do? How do I be saved? What is this about? First, you got to know you're a sinner. Brother Ron always says, you can't be saved until you know you're a sinner. You can't be saved until you know you're not saved. You've never had a moment in your life where you've asked God to say, hey, take that blood and cleanse me with it so that I can be pure in your sight. And then believe in Him to know that He has power over everything, including death. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, and that's what gives us hope. And then understand that it's a commitment to Him. And a commitment sometimes is easy, but man, sometimes it is war. Sometimes a commitment to follow that commitment is war. Because He's going to come after you. He's going to fight you. But I believe that God is raising up a generation that's going to be so much more warrior-minded and so much less whining about what we don't have and what we can't do and what we can't get past or what we can't have or who we can't be. All of those things, I think we can move past that. I think God is telling us, y'all been wandering way too long. You're taking a 4-day journey. It's taking you 40 years to get where I want you to be. God wants us to fight. And today, I challenge every single one of you, no matter where you are. Hopefully you're sitting at home on your couch in your lounge pants with your family snuggled up around a laptop or something, checking this out. These guys in this room with me today braving the virus, we ain't scared. We got all kind of Lysol and Germex in here, but we ain't scared. Wherever you are right now, I want you to take a look at those three things. What's your promise? What's in the way of it? And how are you going to get it? And remember that it is absolutely 100% your choice whether you're going to be a whiner or you're going to be a warrior. Today, as I get ready to close, remember that we're going to have the church office phones open this afternoon. If you need prayer and you just want to talk to me or Brandon or Roxanne or maybe somebody else that's going to hang out with us today, man, give us a call. We'll talk to you. Can't meet with you today because we're practicing our social distancing. We understand that. Following the rules. But that doesn't mean that God's not big enough to get from me, where I'm standing right now on this pulpit, to where you are. He's already there. He's already everywhere. There is no distance He can't cover. Remember that today. As these ladies come sing, we're going to sing a couple verses that give me Jesus. And then we're going to close for today. But remember in that if you need something, if you need somebody, if you feel like there's something that God has given you that you haven't laid hold of yet, and He wants you to have it. And hopefully we've given you the prescription to get there and the roadmap to get to where God, to where you have what God has for you. These ladies sing. You guys enjoy it with us. Thank you.